The Rick Emerson Show, 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Rick, I thought I'd reply to the last caller about Viso in Vancouver. I know of two places. The greatest audience ever. The Shell Station on Auto Mall Drive in 4th Plain and the 7-Eleven on Mill Plain by the DQ. The show rocks. Thank you. Let's see. All right. Well, let's get all these emails about whatever. 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, top five. Scotty J faces off against Susan Reynolds' fourth grade daughter in a spelling bee. Lycus for three. Dynamite at seven. Rick, about Utah. Utah equals no helmet law. If you have to force someone to wear a helmet, they deserve it when they end up with an external frontal lobe. Just so you know. It's very true. Let's see. Rick, I hate to correct your genius analogy of Sanjaya being the poor man's Jamiroquai, but I leave it. But I believe at this point, Jamiroquai is a poor man's Jamiroquai. That's from Zathacorp. Thank you, sir. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Let's welcome down to the Rick Emerson Show for the Fuel Show, our good friend Dennis Pitzenbarger. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Hi, how are you? You're making a paper airplane?
Yes, I am. I have, I feel that...
You just continue to be a good investment for CBS.
I do. Well, you know, the thing is, I'm actually recycling an old news story from Tim Riley's, what is that? Is that the news dumpster?
No, that's the inbox.
Oh, sorry. sorry about it. Here, I might want to unfold this then. Hold on.
No, don't worry about it. No, don't make...
Here, I'll give that. There you go.
That's our top story.
Yeah. No, sorry about that.
They'll make more news tomorrow. Don't you... Just destroy anything you'd like.
I'm sorry about that.
Leave some grease around while you're at it, too. Could you just maybe smear a cube of margarine over where Tim has to type?
No, but I do have a Big Mac somewhere in the car. I thought I'd help there. Thanks for having me back. Hey. This is getting to be a regular thing.
Yes. So pretty soon we'll be renting a motel in the middle of the day.
As long as there's no horses.
We had this discussion, was it yesterday, about Scotty's... we're not sure whether it's an official midlife crisis or not. That's a discussion for another time. But Scotty revealed that his dream car was a red convertible Ford Mustang. Which then led to a gigantic discussion about whether or not Mustangs are chick cars. Now, I know we've established on this program that Camaros are chick cars. Tell me, come on.
No.
I know this, and I'm not trying to start a whole thing. I'm just saying, now,
you are starting a whole
early
thing.
Camaros, no, an early Camaro is great, but you look at a Camaro made anywhere up to, they stopped making them, what, in 2000?
2002.
So anywhere up through the 80s and 90s. Camaros are girl cars. They are cars for women, which is fine.
No.
I'm just saying.
I don't know. I was going to say, out of the two, I mean, really, when you're talking about a Mustang, there's
white denim jeans, big-ass hair.
See, but that's your... Come on, look at the era we grew up in. The problem with what you're saying is, you're going from the IROC Camaro, you know, bleached hair, 8-ball jacket, you know, going to the Square Cow Fun Bar in Gresham in 1989. That was the epitome of that car. But to say a Camaro is a chick car is completely wrong. I mean, you got to remember, the Mustang was designed and built, and it was marketed as it could be your secretary's car. And back in 1964, when they started building that car, it wasn't the world of equality that we know now. It was pretty much, you're my secretary, go make me coffee or I'll slap you kind of era.
Oh, no, it's still that way now. He sits back there.
Oh, sorry. Oh, well, that's between you and your... That's between you and your...
I'm sorry, it was right there. I'm not talking about like a 65 Mustang, though, or the classic era Mustang. I'm saying, again, the recent, any Mustang made from 1980, and I say this as a layman, this is a guy who's not a car guy, this is from an outside observer, a pop culture perspective, from 1980 up until now, if you are driving, and it's the convertible that makes it a chick car.
Oh, undoubtedly. I mean, Mustangs, there's nothing wrong with a Mustang, but it is not nearly as masculine as a Camaro. I mean, I guess that's the nicest way I could put it.
Wait, when you say Camaro...
Is the Mustang a chick car?
Yes.
Okay, see, there you go.
I mean, undefiably, yes.
See, why is it so difficult? You come in here and you're all resistant to the idea.
Well,
that's all I was saying.
The problem with saying that the Mustang is a chick car is I'm defining so many great, powerful Mustangs in the pony car era into being a chick car. Now, you're talking about a Shelby GT500. You're talking about a Shelby GT500 KR convertible. I mean, those are as masculine and just absolute, visceral, manly cars as ever.
Is there any Scotty's typing in the screen that you are dead? said to him, is there any red convertible that Scotty could buy that would not be a chip car?
Yeah, a Camaro.
If only that were possible.
Well, I
mean,
if he's going to buy a new car, I mean, the new Mustang is actually a pretty decent car, but I mean, you know, and then the new Camaro is going to be out. For some reason, Scotty, with the name Scotty J, I do see him in possibly a Miata. I mean, you know, if he just went by Scott, that might be different, but it's just
you've heard his voicemail greeting, haven't you?
No.
Have you never heard his voicemail greeting?
Oh no. Is this? Am I? Should I have his number?
No, we got to do it again. Do you have his cell phone number?
I think I do. I think he's called me before.
Okay.
I have new voicemail.
Sir, can you pop down the phone?
Mm-hmm.
Oh gosh.
Oh, he's put it on the screen. All right. Is it line 6 that I dial out on?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. Just listen to how perky this is. It is. It's like the perkiest, most chipper greeting you've ever heard in your life. This is his real message that the public hears when they call him. When other adults call to speak to him. Dude.
Send it to voicemail, Scotty.
You've reached Scotty J. Please leave a message, and I'll be sure to return your call just as soon as possible. Have a great day.
I mean, really. It's like you can hear the ear to ear. All right, let's just do a couple of these, and then we'll take a break. Hi, Rick Emerson, Joseph.
Hello?
Hi there.
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, not much. Your whole Mustangs being chip cars? No. The old Camaro, the Camaro, the white trash Mustang, that is totally the chip car. When you went to the white jeans and feathered bleached hair, you had that nailed. But no, Mustangs, brand new ones, maybe a little bit more so, but the classic Mustangs, definitely not.
Well, I think I make an exception for things that were made in the 1960s.
I was trying to say, is when you're talking about this particular Mustangs, they were as great a muscle pony, whatever you want to call it, car, as ever there was. But the original Mustang was developed and designed to be, as they marketed it, the secretary's
car. That you could take it anywhere. That was the other thing. The other thing about the Mustang was that you could take it to the club on the weekends, and you could take it to work, and you could take it to church. It was respectable, and it was sort of, it was a recreational car at the same time.
Exactly. And when you take the word Shelby and toss it in there, obviously.
Shelby.
Well, Shelby.
It's named after a horse in a romance novel.
Well, or Carroll Shelby, which is obviously the guy who built
it. Shelby, ride like the wind. We must make the cabin by nightfall. Let's see. Let's get a Steve. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, Rick. I wanted to share that maybe he should hold out for the new Camaro that's coming out because it's kind of reminiscent of the '69.
Now, I thought that they'd stop. I did. They discontinued, or they discontinued and then retooled the Camaro.
Well, no, they discontinued it in 2002. The new car, as the listener said, it will be out in 2009. And then even better for those of you that can still find the members only or 8-ball jacket, the Trans Am will be out in 2011.
Did you tell me that they have 150,000? For that, actually, visceral shudders of pleasure.
Yeah.
Was it you, Dennis, that told me there's 150,000 pre-orders for that Trans Am?
Well, it was for the Camaro. There's a website that if you find on the web, I don't even remember the exact URL, but there's a website out there that actually they took a poll and something like 150,000 people already said, listen, I will write the check for the entire cost of the car before they even build it if you bring the Camaro back. Okay. I mean, that you got to think, the Camaro was a very iconic automobile in the world of Americana. I mean, it is as equal to the Mustang ever was. It's just people associate with the Mustang as being kind of that, you know, got to ride Sally Ride and all these different, there's no Camaro song that ever came
somebody
out.
Somebody ought to ride it. Somebody, that's right there. Somebody ought to ride a Camaro song. But the only Camaro song, and it's not even a Camaro song, it's in Better Off Dead.
Oh, God, that's the great, I mean, that is.
Where he's playing Manish Boy by Muddy Waters as the garage opens and that Camaro, see, that's a car that I could, not I, but someone, that a man could drive.
The car that sat in the auto cocoon for 2 years in the front yard.
Hold on. That car has sat on my lawn for 2 years.
You need to rent that movie.
Get it out of my system. Totally. Lane. Because your girlfriend at the time, Beth, referred to it as tasty. That car has sat on my front lawn in an auto cocoon, Lane, for 2 years. All right. But you can do this bank call, then we'll be done here. Let's see. Alexander. Oh, there's bitching Camaro, you know, by the dead milkman. I forgot about that.
See, I'm sorry. I mean,
Hey, Alexander, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
You know, I my first car was a 67 Mustang. My second car was a 67 Mustang. I got it. There are distinct eras of the Mustang, from 64 to 70, and then from 70 through, realistically, 93. If you're driving a car that's between 70 and 93, you probably do meth, you probably live in Gresham, and you probably have really bad-smelling breath.
I think he's hit the trifecta there.
Yeah,
I think
is
what you call that.
I would explain. So you could play that. You could play that on a bingo game in my neighborhood. Thank you, sir. All right, that's Alexander. We'll do like two more, and then we're done here. Jesse, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, I was going to kind of agree about the big year Mustang, like the two door hatchback they came out with, and slapped the Mustang logo on. It was one of the most biggest embarrassments I think I ever seen to a brand name.
Well, because they did that. I mean, exactly, this is all stuff that even I know, where they just had such a great car, and then they just, it's like a movie, it's like Rocky, you know, where you love Rocky, and then Rocky 2's okay, you know, and then in Rocky 3, you're kind of going, what, I don't understand, and then Rocky 4 happens, and then by the time
Thunder
Rocky 5, yeah,
something.
And you're just at home weeping with your head in your hands, wondering what the hell it is that they're doing. It's like somebody, you know, someone beating your child in front of you, just ruining a franchise.
Well, if you're a Camaro fan, and you ever get in a discussion with a Mustang, the only thing you need to say is Mustang 2, and that pretty much shuts Mustang fans up.
Nothing big-ass, heavy, like, ugly, hideous.
No, those were the 70s.
Is that what I'm thinking of?
No, you're thinking of, like, 71 Mustangs, where they were, like, as big as an LTD. I'm thinking of the Mustang 2, which was really nothing more than a Pinto with a Mustang badge and a V8. So, you know, well, that's what it was. It was the architecture of a Pinto. So,
worst car ever.
All you got to say is Mustang 2, and that pretty much shuts them up.
I remember being dropped off at school before I was even old enough to really, I shouldn't even be caring about things, but I remember being dropped off at school in a yellow Pinto. My idiot brother dropping me off because my parents were out of town, so I had to stay at my brother's house. It was a yellow Pinto with like the wood paneling stripe down the sign. That's no way to impress anybody, like 9 years old.
When I was like 7 years old, my parents had this car, and I actually wish they still had it. It was a Pinto station wagon with the full-on blue, bright, like Ford blue,
yeah,
with the wood paneling all down the sides. I think they owned it for like a week and decided to move up a little bit in the world, but I wish I had that car just to drive it.
All right, there you go. Dennis Pitchmark, Fuel Show, Saturday, 9 to 11. Thank you, sir.
I have to now walk by Scotty's desk. Hopefully he won't beat me up.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Now we're low on coffee.
Okay, I'll get that. All right. I'll get you that.
503-733-2970.
Dennis didn't sound afraid of Scotty. That was a little weird.
I don't know what that's all about. I don't know what goes on between those two. Ron,
hello?
You're on the. Hi there. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick. I got a name for the party.
Yes, sir.
So you like my party?
Oh, my skin is crawling. All right. No, that was. We're not going to use that, but thank you for that.
You bet.
Thank you. All right, that really was worth the whole time. That's all kinds of icky is what that is. All right, let's see. Let's just go through some of this email here. Rick, listener party 10, the year of Tim Riley. What is this the year of? Is this the year of the... What is this the year of?
All I know is what year I was born.
Now, this is a dumb question because I don't know anything about the Asian culture. Now, do they really change it every year? In other words... Is it like when it's like the year of the rat or something? Is it that for just one calendar year as we in the West know it? Or does like an Asian year of the whatever, is it like some metric time thing where it's like three of our Earth years? Does anybody know? I believe it's a different animal every year. So, but every year by our calendar. So we
Their calendar.
I know, but what I'm saying is...
Our Earth years?
You know what I'm saying? Like when they say it's the year of the dog or whatever.
Hmm.
Is that... From January 1st to December 31st, or is when they say the year of the dog, is it like, is that a different kind of year measurement? Because it's a holdover from an ancient time, right? I wonder, does that change as the normal modern 2007 calendar changes? Or is that, is it like a different form of time measure, like a pre-Gregorian, never mind. I don't even know what I'm talking about.
I don't even know.
We're sitting here just memorized by this. And the joke was like an hour ago, and I never got to it. All right, 503-733-2970. Rob, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, man, I'm taking away your Ramones card.
Rob!
Hey, Rob, what's up?
Not much, guys. I'm excited about the party.
Yeah, it's, and I see what you're calling on the screen. Oh, Oh, I am a tool.
Yeah, you gotta give your card up. What's the name of it?
Go, little Camaro, go.
Thank you.
Yeah, by the Ramones. I totally should. What do they say in Dynamite? My mother's a whore.
And I'm out.
Okay, and hi. There you go.
That's I heart him.
Really?
Rob?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love that guy.
Yeah. It's weird that he used to call. What is that guy's? Is he just
well,
busy
him and his,
a lot
no, him and his wife have that the cat toy business.
Oh, yeah. They, all
and
the
they have like a they have a store now. He's, like, he's actually a working man.
He's making like $1 jillion a year on that crap, too.
Yep.
I mean, would you crap, would you say, with respect? But, I mean, I always say that the money's in crazy cat women. So Rob has proven that to be correct. Let's see. Rick, it is the year of the pig. Some say it's the year of the boar, but we'll call it pig. So it is the year of the pig. All right. See, there you go. I knew that wasn't that hard. Somebody was going to have the answer to that. 503-733-2970. Let's see this email. Rick, Chinese New Year. Yeah, the year of the pig. 2006 was the year of the dog. All right. Well, this is much less interesting than I thought it would be. There's really no humor here, to be honest. I thought there was going to be a colossal joke in here somewhere, but I'm looking. I'm shaking it. No, there's just no joke in this.
You know what sucks? Because of all the YouTube stuff, they've taken down a lot of the audio clips, and the Anna Nicole Smith, Like My Body's gone.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Bastards. You know, that you can blame Viacom for that. YouTube is sort of like, it's like Napster, man, but there was a golden era where the key was just to grab as much crap as you possibly could because it was going to be gone. That's the lesson I have learned. I do not advocate, of course, illegal file sharing, but I'm simply saying that's the lesson I have learned with all subsequent technologies after Napster. You find something that's good, there's stuff out there, you just don't wait.
Like that one day I could hack into all the celebrities' MySpace pages?
You save it, you screen capture it, you download it, you lock it up forever. Don't ever, because that's you'll go back for it and it'll be gone. You don't go back. You take it all the first time. You take it the first time. It doesn't matter. Never mind. Anyway, it's
so you're the pig.
Yeah. Yes, it is, Tim. Thank you.
In summary.
To underscore what we have learned today, to bring into stark relief today's lesson, Jesse, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, what's up?
Not much. I was wondering if you caught that show, The Riches.
You know, with Eddie Izzard and Minnie Driver, it's recorded, it's sitting on my TiVo, and I have yet to watch it.
I watched the beginning of it. It was pretty damn funny.
I'm not resisting it. It's just there's no time lately. I feel like I'm really busy all the time, and I have not watched it yet, and I want to because, A, I hear it's good, B, because I love Eddie Izzard, and I want to support that guy, and C, because, and I, you know this is true, that there's a trailer for the new episode of The Shield in it?
Oh, yeah, there's that, and, as an old Izzy, Izzard fan, it's okay, it's, relatable, and it's pretty funny, but I think it's awesome that he plays a regular guy, and his, 12-year-old son is a cross-dresser.
Is that true?
Yeah, his 12-year-old son, everybody in the neighborhood thinks it's his daughter.
That's great, because according to Eddie Izzard is known for being a cross-dresser.
I was wondering if he, made them do that. If I'm playing a regular guy, I've got to have a cross-dresser.
There's going to be a cross-dresser somewhere. That's fantastic. Does he pull off the American accent?
No, he doesn't even try.
So that's pretty funny. Well, that's pretty great.
He's got his regular accent, kind of.
I dig that guy. Eddie Izzard, he is among... Hey, we interviewed him, too, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
We saw him. I completely forgot that we've interviewed as the Eddie Izzard. I forgot all about it. We rule. God damn, we've had good lives.
We should do it again.
Seriously. Hey, that's probably true. And he probably would be into it now, too, because he's got something to pimp. He was I don't mind saying, he was a terrible interview. Just because he was away. He was, asleep. And it didn't sound like he wanted to be on the phone with us very much. All right, excellent. Well, I will go home and watch that tonight, sir. That's what I will do.
And about them, and it'll tell you everything you need to know.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
All right, there you go. That's Jesse. There you go. Okay.
Break. We're very late.
Eddie Izzard.
Do we have someone at 35?
Jim Rue. All right, there you go. 503-733-2970. Go anywhere. Back after this, the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio.
Call home.
Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. Don't forget, tomorrow we'll talk to Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. And what are we doing, something else tomorrow? Scotty, are we having somebody else on the show tomorrow? Maybe. Now, next week is the Full Film Fever guy. The Full Film Festival. Tomorrow, we're talking to our good friend Siegfried about Grindhouse a little bit. All right, 503-733-2970. In just a moment, we'll return to Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. We have got more submissions for the Rick Emerson Listener Party 10 name and so forth. At 2 o'clock, Scotty J takes on a fourth grader in a spelling bee from Los Angeles. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Good afternoon.
How's life, brother? How are things?
It's wonderful.
Is it really truly wonderful?
I cannot lie. It's wonderful.
Fantastic. Hey, just as a side note here, we played these Arnold Schwarzenegger, Rush Limbaugh cuts earlier. It's sort of a non-event at this point. It's kind of,
yeah.
It ended up being two rich white guys smoking cigars and laughing at each other.
Which is exactly what it is.
Totally, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
It's two guys from like the upper 3% just sort of
smoke a stogie together, and we will be talking about this from here to eternity. The key thing is that people should know.
Is that? Hold on, was that Tim? Was that you?
Yes.
You were doing that intentionally.
Were you doing that? No, I just couldn't tell if that was Rupert or if that was Jim. Jim was just playing.
I didn't hear anything.
Yeah, our phone is not feeding. Sound bites aren't feeding the phone, but Tim was just actually. It's funny, as I said that, Tim was just playing a sound bite of Schwarzenegger discussing the event where he actually says, can you play that one more time, Tim?
We smoke a stogie together, and we will be talking about this from here to eternity. The key thing is that people should know that you and I, we don't have a fight. We don't argue with those things. We just have different opinions.
All right, so there you go. So two guys from the upper 3% just sitting and snickering at one another.
Jeez.
All right. Hey, and this is not really like a big pick-me-up. It seems like we've had one buzzkill story from the CNN people all day long after another, but which is, you know, this is the way it is. We were talking to Lisa Conner today, and it's, you know, the sad story about John Edwards and his wife and the cancer and so forth. But we had this story from you last week about woman, Angel Rake, or is that her name?
Yeah.
And she's 42, and she got like 100 different diseases, and the doctor's like, look, this medical marijuana is the only thing keeping her alive. And the government, basically, the federal government anyway, kind of said, screw you, you can't have it anyway, and whatever.
Yeah, even though California has a medical marijuana law.
Right, and so the federal government said, well, we don't care.
Right.
We're going to take away this one thing that is keeping you alive. And so now, there's this bill introduced in California that would, and California is always the canary in the coal mine for these things. California that would make assisted suicide for the terminally ill legal in that state, but is being, and this is what intrigues me. It says being opposed by a coalition of minority groups, and we say minority groups, they mean coalitions of minorities, culturally speaking, or just coalitions of very small groups.
I don't know. I think it's minority groups, Latinos, those against that kind of thing.
I mean, it seems like in California, of all places, if people aren't just going to vote to be left the hell alone, you know what I mean? California sort of is the harbinger of all these things. And it seems like, first of all, they're not going to give you, the stuff to help you keep you alive. And then when you finally have had it, the government still steps in and decides, it all comes down to just being left alone by the government, in my opinion. And that's just, you know, so is this one of those things that's going to go, what is it, go to the California Supreme Court after this, if somebody challenges this bill, or how to...
Well, it has to pass both houses. You know how that works. It has to go through committee, judiciary committee first, and it has to go to appropriation, it has to go to this committee, it has to be voted in both houses. It'll probably get out of the assembly. This is something, I think, that should pass easily, and the governor would sign. I mean, the governor has hinted that the whole... this whole thing with the federal government and this medical marijuana thing is ridiculous anyway. So it's a good chance he would sign this. But still, I mean, how is that going to trump federal law?
Right.
You know, you still have the issue of federal law, you know, that says you can't have marijuana for any reason whatsoever. You know, so...
And I'm still never... And the other reason I bring this story, even though it's happening in California, is because even though... I think Oregon was actually the very first state in the union to legalize assisted suicide. I'm pretty sure that we were the first state to do it. But I'm still not really clear on whether or not the federal government has signed off on it, or whether the federal government could do anything about it if they wanted to.
This they couldn't do anything about.
All right.
This is a weird issue, though, too. And usually, now here's the most ridiculous argument I've heard yet against assisted suicide happened yesterday. this little coalition of Californians against assisted suicide, because what else are they going to call themselves?
Sure.
Said that what's going to happen here is that poor people with no insurance will be forced into early death rather than hospice care or whatever. And I'm thinking, how did you derive that?
Yes, they're going to be shunted to one of the various suicide phone booths that are all around town. Yeah.
Granted, a lethal injection will cost $60. Hospice care for however long it takes, or pain management, $60,000. But the two aren't connected.
No.
You know, no insurance company is going to say, we're not going to take care of you because you're going to die, and you could die in 5 years, so why don't you tell, we'll give you this. We'll give you the injection to save us some money. How ridiculous is that argument?
No, and plus, of course, if you go to hospice care, it means that they've already decided you're going to be checked out in a few months anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't even get into hospice care unless they've decided that you're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, I mean, no one is going to... When I talked to those guys yesterday, and I had to get Lloyd Levine on the phone, as much as I don't like a lot of stuff he does, and have him, I love the fact that he said, that's asinine. I mean, I just love putting that stuff in pieces.
Do they even say it with a straight face when they try to make that case?
Yeah,
about
because they don't understand it themselves. And really what they're getting is they're getting scared by these right-wing Christian organizations that say, whose real issue is the morality of it. But they can't say that anymore because that argument doesn't really fly anymore either, because it's a personal choice.
Sure.
The checks and balances before they can actually get this injection are very long. The process is long. There's three different doctors that have to sign off of it. The patient has to administer this thing themselves. And I forgot the statistic, but there's been thousands of these lethal injections actually prescribed and given to people who have yet to use them.
Right, right.
You know?
I think that's the thing they do in Oregon, too. I think it's that they will give you... I'm not even sure how they do it here. I think if they do it with a dose of medication that you take orally, I think it's like the pill or something. But I think that's the thing, is you can have the doctor kind of sign off on it once you get inside the 6-month window.
Yeah.
And then it's up to you, like, whether you do it or not.
Right.
So
I would imagine those who don't want to suffer some severe pain or don't want to prolong the agony for their families or whatever.
I don't think that they give it to enough people. I mean, you want to talk about, I mean, we had like a 10-minute suicide, a 10-minute cancer discussion with Lisa Goddard. You want to talk about a bad thing to die of? Worst thing to die of ever is that Lou Gehrig's disease.
Yeah.
That's like the worst thing I can't even fathom anything.
Well,
and I don't wanna...
I'll tell you, my youngest son has a disease called spinal muscular atrophy, which is just like Lou Gehrig's disease. I mean, no control,
right.
No power, no nothing. I mean, it's just, he's just a wet rag, you know? And I couldn't imagine having to go through that. And watching yourself decline and then not being able to do anything about it and going, I wouldn't even want to deal with that.
It's just, and I remember just thinking, this is a friend of mine last year, and her father had ALS, and eventually, he lived a relatively long life, and da-da-da-da. But I remember thinking at the time that I am just a member of somebody asked me what political group I am, and I'm a member of the leave me the hell alone, and let me live my life however I want to live it, party. As long as I'm not, screwing with anybody, get off my back.
I'm going to look for that at the next registration round.
Seriously, man. Come up with a catchy acronym, and then you it's the Roop Emerson presidency. Just come up with some sort of catchy acronym. They get the hell off my jock party. And so,
I want to wear a t-shirt that says that.
That's it, man. That's what I'm going to, the united banner of leave me the hell alone and quit knocking at my door and trying to sell me things. So, hey, real quickly before we go, I wanted to ask you, this is from Tim just handed this to me from our Hollywood desk, the Hollywood Christmas Parade.
Oh, that broke my heart.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to drive in a pin.
Oh, man.
The Hollywood Christmas Parade has been canceled because of... It's always like, if they get canceled because of safety issues, at least maybe there's a humorous story, like when a float crashes into a parade of old people. But here, it's just that no one's going anymore.
Nobody likes it anymore, man.
How's
that? I have to admit, you have to admit Johnny Grant's right, the honorary mayor of Hollywood. People have so many different entertainment platforms anymore. They don't really look forward to this. Plus... once you get to Thanksgiving, there's a parade every other weekend.
Yeah.
Or every weekend, I think. And while this used to be a nice big one with, Bob Hope as Grand Marshal and all that kind of stuff,
it's too much anymore. And so people aren't going. They can't get a national TV audience. They can't get a syndication deal going to broadcast it nationally. And that's really what killed it. If they could have had somebody that says, I'll syndicate this thing nationally, there's enough revenue there that they could pay for it. But they lost $100,000 last year. They stand to lose $200,000 this year if they have it. So they just said, pull the plug.
You know what they ought to do? I have this idea.
Give it the injection.
you can pass this along the idea. They can maybe revive this. So maybe what they could do at this parade is, you know, like at Macy's, they have the floats that come down. Maybe instead of a float, they should have a massive pinata. I mean, no, seriously, I mean a pinata like the size of the Hindenburg. And instead of hitting it with sticks, people are given a series of small guns that they can use. And for like $10, everybody gets to take three shots with the gun at the huge Hindenburg-sized pinata. And then inside, you would have, like I don't know, like 6,000 pounds of candy or something. Or just, you know, three cubic hectares of candy that would come out.
Honestly, that'd be cool.
Just imagine an avalanche of 600,000 pounds of M&Ms washing down one of the streets in Hollywood.
They canceled the parade because somebody was killed by a falling Tootsie Roll.
See, come on. I mean, it's a win-win-win-win situation for all of us. So you can pass that idea along.
I'd watch that.
All right. See, that's what I'm seeing. Rick,
I'd go there and take a couple of shots myself.
I'm always... or maybe this. How about this? Final thought. Maybe it's a gigantic pinata, again, just the size of a garbage truck, just the biggest pinata you've ever seen. Instead of a handgun, the people are allowed to stand on the edges of buildings, and then Tarzan style, they can swing on vines into the side of the pinata, trying to crash into it that way.
Oh, I would do that.
See, there's people out there. Americans will do anything as long as they're promised that there's a bright, shiny object in it.
As long as there's something inside there, they'll go for it.
Oh, there's something in there that costs a dollar.
Really?
Great.
Is it free?
Seriously. even something that they could buy down the street in 5 minutes. It doesn't matter. Swinging across vine style into the... crashing violently into the side of the pinata trying to break through.
Like a bunch of radio sales guys when there's a donut tray in the sales room.
See, and then you wrap it all up with the relatable joke. That's why you're a pro, Jim Roop. All right, my brother. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you, sir.
Jim Roop in Los Angeles, ladies and gentlemen. I love that guy. Fantastic. All right. And it ended on an up. Ladies and gentlemen, he is your president, your prophet, your seer, your revelator.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
The Veterans Administration Hospital scandal spreads to Oregon. Now it's been discovered a colony of bats treat the patients at the White City VA. That's right. Some of the also they have a leaky roof problem, and of course mold is there, and they have to remove the ceiling tiles. A large colony of bats resides at the facility, sometimes flying into the interior parts of the building, scaring everyone. Eradication has been discussed.
That's got
to be the uniqueness of the situation. The number of bats makes it challenging to accomplish, according to the report. Also, the bats keep the insect population to a minimum, so that is positive.
Thank you, Dick Cheney. And the bats are there to keep the insects from covering the patients at the VA. That's going to be unnerving. You're some poor GI with post-traumatic stress disorder and a colony of...
stuck in your hair?
A colony of bats is swooping over inches from your face as you're trying to decompress from the Iraq war. That's got to be a lot of fun. Jesus Christ almighty.
The other findings include, from Oklahoma City, secondhand smoke from the outside smoking shelter infiltrates the building through the women's restroom. Deteriorating walls and hallways are common. Let's see, they need to patch and paint 30% of the patient area in Little Rock. Numerous environmental conditions affect the quality of the building in New York's Hudson Valley, with the private landlord refusing to fix the problems. Roof leaks and mold have been found in Hudson Valley, North Chicago, Illinois, Indianapolis, Indiana, Puget Sound, Portland, and Fayetteville. So there are roof leaks and mold just about everywhere.
It's almost hard to believe I didn't go into the military. It seems like such a sweet deal.
And that's all we have time for right now.
All right.
On an up note tonight, there's going to be another movie screw. Apparently, the bridge, Broadway Bridge, is going to be closed to traffic starting at 6:30 tonight until 6:30 tomorrow morning.
We're sure it's the Broadway Bridge this time.
Yes, it is. Travis Broadway bus will be rerouted across the steel bridge. Sidewalks will remain open, except during brief delays during filming. River traffic will not be impacted. And the film project is bringing... they say $50 million to the local economy.
That's a lie.
Into whose pockets?
That's horse. whores and dealers in narcotics.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Deborah, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hey.
Hi, Rick.
Hey, Deborah. Hey, yes, what's up?
I didn't want to add anything morbid to the Elizabeth Edwards story. I like the lady a lot. I was thinking...
Thanks.
What if... You say John Edwards won't win, but what if he did, and she died while he was in office, and there'd be this feeding frenzy of women after the bachelor president that we haven't had in...
Well, that's almost exactly the plot of The American President by Aaron Sorkin.
Right, exactly.
Where Michael Douglas gets elected and his wife snuffs it, and then it's a whole lot of, like, the president starts dating and so forth. And John Edwards, while I find him to be a little strange and 70s looking, he's not an unattractive man. And, of course, being president apparently makes you irresistible.
Barack Obama said he was cute.
That is true.
He is cute.
Like a little fleshy Caucasian bobblehead.
Yeah.
Being president apparently entices all kinds of fat girls to give you prison sex. So he would have that going for him. I don't know. I guess we don't have to think about it because he's never going to win ever. The best he will ever do at this point, and this is based solely and strictly on my gut read on the American public, the best he can do right now is vice president, in my opinion. Just because he's got that loser taint on him from 2004, whatever. So, I don't know.
Just an addendum to your story on the Vietnamese noodle soup. Is it called, did you say pho?
It's spelled...
P-H-O.
P-H-O, but I believe it is pronounced like F-U-H.
Yeah, because I'm a meter reader. I'm one of Sarah and Kiki's friends. I'm a meter reader, and I saw a place. It said P-H-O-K-I-M.
Is that on Hawthorne, or on Powell, rather?
It's on Northeast Broadway and 67th. I think it's gone out of business, but the sign is still there. I went right by there today. It's Northeast 67th and Northeast Broadway, and it says P-H-O.
Yeah,
K-I-M, and it just made me laugh.
That is amusing. And I think, the thing about that is, I think that pho, which is a Vietnamese soup, if I am right about this, it's like the new Thai, because I remember how, like, once upon a time, there was not really a lot of Thai food unless you lived in a major metropolitan city. If you lived in, like, San Francisco, it was there. But if you went and it was a regular, some other town, it wasn't there. And then one day, somebody turned on the Thai sign, and there was Thai food everywhere. Same thing happened with hummus. Growing up, I'd never had hummus in my life. And then one day, God turned on the hummus button, and there was hummus everywhere. This Vietnamese soup, this pho, is the next thing, I believe. I think it, because I never used to see those restaurants, and now they're everywhere.
It's good?
It's very rich. It's a very, and it's, here's the thing, and I hate to put it this way, but I'm just a dumb white guy, so I hate to put it this way. It is not not a scary food. Because sometimes if you see something that is very authentically ethnic from some other country, an eel. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not going to be a soup with an eyeball in it. Sometimes Whitey will go to get some sort of ethnic food and be like, well, this food isn't scary, and they'll bring you something, and it doesn't look like anything you've ever... Like, did you ever do this? Did you ever watch the Discovery Channel, or... Have you ever gone to a real Chinatown, like in a place like San Francisco? And I swear to God, you walk through the Chinatown in San Francisco, which is a beautiful place in a lot of really strange ways. It's just so overwhelming.
Yeah.
There are vegetables in Chinatown that I swear to God they bring in from the moon. It's like vegetables that you have, that presumably are grown somewhere on Earth that you have never seen in your life, that are grown on some secret farm in another galaxy. They're like space alien Star Trek vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
They're
irradiated.
Yes. Anyway, long story short, that soup is really good. It's like really, really spicy, flavorful versions of an American soup. Whatever it is. Like, they have a regular, like, a beef, vegetable sort of broth-type soup, but it's very strong, very spicy, very flavorful. Good, but I couldn't finish those. Just too much. Too overwhelming. All right. Thank you, Deborah.
Well, thank you.
There you go. No, thank you. That's Deborah. Excellent. There you go. Friend of yours?
And yeah, she's a water meter reader.
Oh, well, she should have said that.
Yeah.
Immediately, I was thinking the worst.
Oh, parking meter?
Isn't that what you thought? Well, not you, because you know her.
Yeah,
somebody says meter reader, you assume...
You'd be a fan of hers.
That's the Cadillac of meter reading.
I don't even know which way to go here. What do you mean I'd be a fan of hers?
I just said, I think you'd want her to be your special friend.
Why?
love. The language of love.
All right. It's 503-733. Wait, now, based on that, no, that's going to be creepy. It's I'm going to stop myself from being creepy right now. 503-733. I was going to guess what she looked like.
Okay, go for it.
No, but now it's going to be creepy because she's probably listening and she's a friend of yours, and then you and Kiki will laugh at me later. You will
we
laugh.
Always laugh at you anyway.
Oh, well, okay then. It's a wash. So I would be a fan of hers. Well, no, there's no way to have this discussion without me looking lecherous, so I'm just going to stop. It's 503. I'll just
you keep yelling at me via email saying that she's mad that you're saying it's spicy and rich because she said it's just broth and noodles.
Well, but it depends on what kind you get. I'm not saying that it's like, that it's the soup that eats like a meal. I'm saying for me, and maybe it was just me, because Lara eats it quite a lot. I'm saying for me, and granted, now I have only gone to the one place, and that place is on like 44th and Powell. I went there. I've been there twice. One place, two different times. And I had basically like a beef and noodle soup. But it was really spicy. And I did request that they make it spicy, so maybe they did. But I mean, you know, you go like, you want it spicy? Yeah, sure. And normally it's not a problem at all. Very rarely do you go to a restaurant in Portland and you say to make it spicy and it's so spicy that it causes any sort of trouble for you. So maybe that's what it was. But, I mean, yeah, see, it's not like it's going to harm you or something. I'm just saying it was very, very rich. Like, American soup is very bland a lot of the time. That's all I'm saying. Let's go back to talking about your hot friends. Fred, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, love your program, sir.
Thank you.
I want to talk about the movie they're filming downtown.
The one that's bringing $50 million in whatever, drug and prostitute money to Portland.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Hey, well, I go down there every day, and I can't park anywhere, Rick. Yeah, not near the post office, the union station, the ground station. They've taken up all the spaces, Rick, with trucks and stuff.
Isn't that right?
How does the city get money? Is that a revenue enhancer?
I don't know. Tim?
$50 million to take those parking spaces.
Now, where is this at? What area can you
Broadway Bridge?
Oh, it's near the union station.
Uh-huh.
Greyhound station is like...
What are you going to do about it, Fred?
Well, I'm not going to do anything about it. I thought you had some clout.
I was going to try to goad you into doing something. I was going to try to push you until you snapped. Well,
there's no place to park down there. If you go to the post office, you can't park because they have these big.
It's hard being an American.
Moving vans.
Yeah.
You know, for the films, and this happens, and you can't go anywhere after 6:30 at night to get back over the bridge.
You can use the river.
Yeah, you can push yourself across on a skiff. Push yourself across Huck and Jim style. All right, thank you, Fred.
All right.
All right, so I'm sorry to disappoint you. Thought I was going to fix things. That's not going to happen. All right. It's 503-733. So does this mean she's brunette?
She is brunette.
Now, have you deduced, and I'm not saying whether this is true or not, have you...
No, now I'm uncomfortable talking to you about this stuff ever since your wife got mad at me.
She's not listening, baby.
Sure?
Baby, it's just you and me. Now, have you deduced... I'm not saying whether it's accurate. Are you saying that, in your estimation, I am not partial to blondes?
Yeah, actually, I would say that. I'd say that you like darker-haired girls.
All right. Okay, fair enough. All right. It's 503-733-2970.
There's a young offspring at the door.
It's the fourth grader.
What are you talking about? Oh, okay. All right.
We must break.
Hey, we're going to come back with Scotty J and a fourth grader. You say there's the Rick Emerson Show. If it's for spelling bee, don't be perverse. The Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere.